Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
John 4, 22 and 23, Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, and he told her this: "You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." So today we're going to just put a title on it: Salvation is of the Jews. And it is. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you are showing us. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that stands of your word. God, today we just ask you to open our hearts to receive it. Lord, we're going to praise you for it. Give us revelation today, God. Give us insight, Lord. And we're going to praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise today before you're seated. God's good. God is good. You can be seated. Thank you for being in Sunday school today. So, salvation is of the Jews. I've often made this point in trying to show people things in the Scripture, because let me just say it like this. I told somebody this, they were talking, I said, you know, a lot of people, most people, will not do an in-depth word study and you know, look through historical books and things like that to prove things out and to find revelation and things, but that's all right, but it's very enlightening to do that when you start really studying words and things and seeing the meanings. But if people would simply do and read the Scripture, there's enough in here that'll tell you exactly what you need to know. This is the authority. This, what's in here, is what we live by. It's what we're saved by. And if we go after any other doctrine that is not here, we're saying that this is no longer the final word. And that's the way the Trinitarian doctrine was started, is that men decided they had the authority to change the Word of God, that it was all right, that God gave them the authority to even change His Word if they felt the need to do that. But the thing is, you know, you don't even have to preach against any other doctrine. You don't have to preach against it. Just preach the truth, and it'll tell you what you need to know. When you read this and study this, this tells you all you need. You don't have to look up things so you can preach against anything. This will disprove every other doctrine. And so just, if you know what's in here, you know false doctrine when you see it. And so the apostles, they knew this, and so what they preached was the foundation from the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. And so I wanted to go back and just show some things that if we are concerned with salvation, we need to know where it comes from, how we fit into it, and what did the first church preach? What did they believe? And so, well, they believed the prophets, and they believed the disciples, those 12 and those disciples of Jesus from those years that he was here on earth, they believed his words and what he said. And he made a very insightful statement when he told this woman, which was a Samaritan. She had already pointed out that there's a difference here between you and I, because you are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, and we shouldn't even be talking. But as they continued their conversation, Jesus said, "You worship, you know not what, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." But the hour comes, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. He said there's something going on there now, but there's something coming later. There'll be a further revelation even later. But at that time, people were beginning to get the revelation of the truth. He said they would worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Jews, their knowledge of what and who they worshiped was learned by what they had witnessed from their Savior, from the one who gave them salvation, or what was passed on to them from their fathers. And so to think that the Jews would worship anybody but God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah, the I Am, they won't worship anybody but that. And Jesus said, and they will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And in John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so he was telling them, we know what we worship. We worship the Father. And he was telling them, no man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. I am the truth. And he's telling them that if you're going to see, and he'll make the statement a lot plainer later, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. But he said, you would worship him in spirit and in truth. John 1 and 17 says, truth came by Jesus Christ. And that's what the apostles preached, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Ephesians 4 and 21, Paul would write that the truth is in Jesus. If you want to know the truth about who God is, you will look to Jesus, because all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. And salvation is in him. John 1 and 14 says, the Word was made flesh. The Word, which was God, was made flesh. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said, when you looked in the face of the only begotten Son of God, you were looking at the truth. You were looking at God manifest in the flesh. And so who they would worship would not change, because God does not change. He was and is and will always be their salvation, their source of salvation. And so they knew who they worshiped, and worshiping God was important to them. Matthew 4 and 10. Then Jesus said unto him, he was talking to the enemy that was tempting him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, it's in the Word, it's in the Scripture, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We know who we worship. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And in verse 13, he said, thou shalt fear the Lord, or reverence him, the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Who they worshiped was important. What they worshiped was important. It was tied directly to their salvation. In Matthew 22 and 37 and 38, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. They believed in the commandments. The Hebrew people did not believe in any other gods. They did not believe in a multiplicity of gods. They believed what was given to them from the Lord. The Lord told them. Moses did not make up Deuteronomy 6 and 4. This was what the Lord gave him. I'm one. It's just me. And so hear this, O Israel. You know, this is what Moses would say to Israel then. What Peter would say to Israel later is, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. In other words, hear, O Israel, the same Jesus that you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. That's why it made such an impact upon them. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, it says that a scribe came to Jesus, and he heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And listen to what this scribe, this Jewish scribe says. Well, master, thou hast said the truth. You're going to worship God in spirit and truth. But he said, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. This is what they believed. The first Christians were monotheistic, one God believing Jews. If you were to talk to them about a Trinity, they would not have any idea what you're talking about. They would have thought maybe you were from Rome, because Rome believed in worshiping many other gods, and they had a God for every day of the week, you know. So, but Israel had one. And this scribe, this teacher of the law, this wise man, he said, there is one God and there is none other but he. And to love him with all your heart and all your understanding, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, that's more than burnt offerings or sacrifices. And Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, says unto him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. He's not far from the kingdom of God. Understanding that there is one God and worshiping him puts you very close to the kingdom. Getting the revelation of who he is gets you in the kingdom, because we must be born again, born of water and the Spirit. And we are born of the water through baptism in his name. And we are filled with the Holy Ghost, which comes in his name. God was manifest. This one God was manifest in the flesh. And if, you know, even James wrote, if you believe in one God, you do well. This is what the New Testament church believed, that there was one God, and this is what they worshiped. All salvation is of the Jews. The source of their salvation was, if there is salvation, there has to be a source. There was a Savior, and they believed in their Savior. And so let's just look at Scripture. This is a lot of Scripture I'm going to read through, but I want you to hear, this is what they grew up learning. This is what was instilled in them, and this is what they knew could bring them to salvation. Isaiah 43, verse 3, and then verse 10 and 12. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I'm your Savior. We know he's one, and he's their Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia, Saba for thee. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. There will not be another God or Savior coming after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, I have saved, I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. He was talking, of course, about, you know, you're going to go into these lands, this promised land, and they have different gods. He said, but before you went into a land where they worshiped other gods, it was me. We could say the same thing would apply to us, that before they ever got together and decided that there was three, there was just this one. Isaiah 44, 6 and 8. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. There is no God beside me. Fear you not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee that from that time and declared it, you are even my witnesses? Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any. Isaiah 45, 5, 6, 15 through 18, then 21 through 23. I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. Verily thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. Idols are things that man creates to worship. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord. Remember what Jesus said? Salvation is of the Jews. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He informed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Tell ye, bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Now, there's some very familiar scripture-sounding scripture here that these apostles that believed Isaiah, what he wrote, would translate this for the New Testament church. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ends of the earth. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none under name under heaven given among men or on the earth whereby we must be saved. The whole world, that name. Well, if that name is the same, then that has to be the name of God. Because if you're going to look unto God and there is none else and he's the Savior and that there's no other name given, guess what the name of God is? Hello. All right. Then he says, but I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, it won't return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. So Paul gives revelation to the church. He writes to the Philippian church 2:9-11, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. That's why it's the name that's the saving name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. But God said, unto me, every knee shall bow. God was manifest in the flesh. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. This is what Israel believed, for salvation is of the Jews. Isaiah 46:9 said, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. I will feed them, Isaiah 49:26, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer. The Lord is the Savior and the Redeemer. But the Bible says we were redeemed not with gold or silver, but we were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a spotless lamb, the mighty one of Jacob. I am the Lord, thy Savior, and thy Redeemer, the mighty one of Jacob. Isaiah 60:16, thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles and shalt suck the breasts of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the mighty one of Jacob. Isaiah 63:8, for he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. Hosea 13:4, yea, I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. And Peter, who was a Hebrew raised in the ways of the prophets and the words of the prophets, he writes this to the church in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. There are some statements that he is making here because of his upbringing. He is telling you to grow in grace and knowledge. You need to know, because Israel knows who they serve. They know who they worship, and they know where their salvation comes from. And he is teaching the church the same way that he has been taught all his life. Know who your Savior is. Know who you worship. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Savior. He just said, there is no Savior. In Hosea, God just said, there is no Savior beside me. He has given you the name of this one God that we serve and letting you know He is the Savior. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory. The Lord said in different places in Isaiah, I will not give my glory to another. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's why you can give glory to Jesus Christ, because He was God manifest in the flesh, and you're not robbing God of glory. You are giving God the glory. So we see now why they believed what Jesus said. He said, salvation is of the Jews. We know what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. So we already established they worshiped one God and that He was their Savior. This one God was their Savior. So there's one Lord and there is one name. Zechariah 14 and 9, and the Lord, one Lord, who is God, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Lord and His name one. There's coming a time where there will be no doubt for anybody, because He'll be king over all the earth. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. There's going to be one. In that day there shall be one Lord and His name one. So He's the king. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, the book that John would write in the Spirit, in chapter 19 and verse 16, when he sees Jesus, it says, and He has on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Lord, there'll be one Lord and He'll be king. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Hebrews 1 and 8, when the writer here is quoting the psalmist, he said, but unto the Son, who is Jesus, he says, your throne, O God. The Son is God. He's the Son of God. So unto the Son, he says, your throne, because the King sits on the throne, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is in, or is the scepter of thy kingdom. And so we know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings, and the writer here is letting us know that it was already written that the Son would be God manifest in the flesh, and that He would be sitting on the throne, and there would be a scepter of righteousness that would be the scepter of His kingdom. That's why when we read in Matthew, when the angel begins to tell Joseph and Mary about the child that would be born, he says these words, Matthew 1 and 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's because it is ingrained in the name. Jesus, if you look it up, you'll see where it translates to Jehovah Savior. If you were reading his name in Hebrew, it would be Yeshua, which means God saves, God is a Savior. And so the salvation is tied into his name, for he shall save his people. His people. It's going to be his people. Well, who are his people? The Jewish nation, the Jewish people. John wrote, said, God came unto his own, and they knew him not. This same Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. He went on to quote a prophecy, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then it says that Joseph did not know his wife till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. If his name is Emmanuel, interpreted God with us is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God manifest in the flesh. The Word, which was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came unto his own, to his people, and they knew him not. That's why he would weep over Jerusalem and said, if you had known, if you had just known the things that belong to your peace, if you'd got this, I could have done so much more, but you would not. You wouldn't accept it. You wouldn't receive it. When you look all the way back to Exodus chapter 6, it says, God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. God spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord. Every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Lord said in one place, I am the Lord, I change not. He's not changing, he's just revealing. It's not changing, it's just revelation. So God spake unto Moses, said unto him, I am the Lord. And then he tells Moses, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. That was the name that I appeared to them by. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. I wasn't known unto them as the I am. If you look up Jehovah, it's so many things you can find that what different ones say it means. It means the I am that I am, the eternal one, the self-existent one, or simply God. That's just a few of the things that you'll find when you look up what Jehovah means. But so we know that there was a name that he said that they have not known me by. Well, when he came unto his people, his name was Jesus, Jehovah Savior. And by that name, he was not known to his people. He was Yeshua, God saves, God is salvation, or Jesus, Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah will save. He came as a Savior. It was tied in his name, but they had not known him by that name. They still knew him as the Father, our Father in heaven, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. But they did not know him when he walked this earth by Jehovah. Jehovah saves, Jehovah salvation. They didn't believe that's who he was. In Acts 4 and 12, this is why it will tell us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's the saving name. And Jesus himself uttered the words, God in the flesh said, he that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 22 and 16, Paul, this Jewish Hebrew of Hebrews, sat in under the greatest teachers. He was more zealous of the traditions than any of his fathers. He would talk about how he was just how much he believed the prophets and those things he was taught. When Ananias came to him, when God sent Ananias to him, said, go find this Saul of Tarsus and lay your hands on him so he can receive the Holy Ghost, and he needs to be baptized, and he's going to preach for me. This is what Ananias said. Paul, why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Well, Paul knew what that name was because he had already asked the question and been answered. When God put him down on the road at Damascus, he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now, up to that point, I don't know what Paul would have said when he had not had that revelation, what he would have said at that time. Maybe he would have said Yahweh. I don't know what he would have said because he would have been trying to think of what is the name of the Lord, but he knew the name of the Lord now. Now, of course, he was speaking Hebrew, so he probably would have said, when he said, who are you, Lord? He would have said, so Paul would have understood, he would have said, I am Yeshua, that you persecute, you know. But we know this name in this English that we read, that's been translated for us, that it is Jesus. And he said, I am Jesus that you're persecuting. But he knew the name of the Lord. And that's why he would call on the name of the Lord. Part of the New Testament and what people believe today in modern Christianity is that all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. That if you'll just call his name, you're going to be saved. Well, I believe that he's as close as speaking his name. I believe in that. But if you're going to be saved for eternity, you're going to do more than just holler the name Jesus. That's not what he's talking about. And even what he's talking about, it was to his people first. Calling on the name of the Lord was something that Israel knew about. Confessing his name, calling his name, trusting his name was something. You know, we quote all these scriptures. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Where's that from? That's David. That's Psalms. That's, you know, that's, you read all that way back there. So let's look at some history in that. 1 Kings 8, 33 through 35, Solomon, they're dedicating the temple. And Solomon's praying. He says, when your people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against you, and they shall turn again to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication unto you in this house, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel. Bring them again into the land that you gave unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against you, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them. He's saying, when they repent, because they're turning, that's repentance. He said, when it's always been in the plan. When they repent, when they return to God, and when they confess his name, then God forgive them, heal them, take care of them. Psalm 54 and 1, save me, O God, by thy name. They always knew that salvation was in the name of the Lord. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Psalm 55 and 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Now, he's not saying God's going to pass off a message to the Lord. I called on God, and he said, hey, Lord, swoop down there and save that guy. But he knows that, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And so when I call upon God and the Lord will save me, there's actually scripture that a Jewish man in the New Testament used this scripture in the last breath of his life. Acts 7 and 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. This is what they believed. There was one. He was the Lord. He was their God. And he said, when I call upon God, the Lord shall save me. And they stoned Stephen, this Jewish, Holy Ghost-filled, believing man that he believed in one God. And he said, God, he was calling upon God saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. When Thomas would see Jesus and the Lord showed him his wounds, Thomas said unto him, my Lord and my God. He didn't say, my Lord and my God. But he looked right at Jesus and said, my Lord and my God. The first time you will hear this phrase, call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, will be in Joel chapter 2, verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Sounds very familiar. It should, because this is where Peter stood up and started, when he started his message, when they were asking about what meaneth this, the Holy Ghost being poured out. He said, this is that the prophet Joel spoke of. This is that. There ain't nothing else coming. This is that. This is it. And so Peter says in Acts 2, 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how did he instruct them to call upon the name of the Lord? Through baptism. Men and this same Jesus you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. As for the remission of your sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, your children, all that is as far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And in the remnant whom the Lord shall call is what Joel said. And so we see that Joel first pens this phrase. Peter preaches this phrase, and that's why Ananias goes to Paul and tells him, Acts 22 and 16, and why are you tarrying? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That is what we do when we baptize people for salvation, for the remission of their sins. We baptize them calling on the name of the Lord, because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, because it is the name of the only Savior. But what people like is Romans, they like to say, well, here's what Paul said in Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then verse 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Well, we already know that Israel believes in confessing the name. That's what Solomon prayed in the dedication of the temple. Lord, when they look back to this house and look back to Jerusalem where you've put your name, and it's where in Jerusalem where he poured out his spirit and the name was revealed in the book of Acts. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, that's believing the gospel. And Paul is writing this to the church at Rome, reminding them. You know, when you read the Old Testament, it was not written to us. It was written for us. But it wasn't written to us. It was written to the nation of Israel so they could be reminded, remember who their God was and what he had told them to do and what was coming for them and all the things that belonged to them, for the promises that were coming to them. And so when Paul is writing these letters to the church at Rome, he's doing the same thing that the Old Testament prophets did. They were writing it for the church. And Paul is writing for the church, and he's just simply reminding them, here's the things that belong to your salvation. This is why you are who you are and how you got here. So we believe in confessing the Lord Jesus, confessing his name, and believing in our heart, because we believe in the gospel that he was crucified, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Solomon already wrote that to us. And then, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and 9 does not void baptism as salvation. It validates the method. That is exactly what Paul is saying. Because he knew what was told to him when he was baptized, arise, be baptized, wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. He understood what this meant, and he was just reminding the church that when people believe the gospel and are baptized, or when they call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved, because he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Let's look at an example, Acts 8, 35 through 37. Philip with the eunuch on the chariot. Philip opens his mouth, begins at the same scripture he's reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he preaches unto the eunuch, he preaches Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch says, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He confessed with his mouth and went into the water and was baptized in the name of Jesus for salvation, because that is the only method of baptism that the church ever used until the development, as we read last week, of the Trinity. I'm just about done. I'm on my last page, and I got 5 minutes. So let's run through it. Let's run through it. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching. We've talked about this last week. And at the end of his, coming toward the end of his message, he says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. You need to know something here. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And they were pricked in their hearts. What shall we do? Why was it that touched them so deeply when he talked about he is both Lord and Christ? Because of what they believed, of who they worshiped. They knew who they worshiped, and they knew that their salvation was tied to who they worshiped, and they understood the prophecies concerning the Messiah or the Christ. Here's what Paul said again. He never changed his beliefs of the prophets. He just had revelation now. And he's revealing the mystery that had been hid from the ages. That's what he wrote. But in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 through 19, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now you know why Isaiah's, the words that God spoke to Isaiah are worded the way they are. I am God and there is none else. I am the Savior and there's none beside me. I'm reconciling the world unto myself. I was manifest in the flesh and reconciling the world unto myself. God was in Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. And he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's why when we read Galatians, Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, how do we get into Christ? Or as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So if I'm going to be a new creature, baptism will be involved. You can be a better person, but you can't be a new creature until you're baptized in Christ. You can be more moral, more truthful. You can clean up your act. But until we have been baptized into Christ, we are not a new creature in his eyes. We have not been born again. So this baptism, Matthew 28:19, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, Paul just said to be new creatures, we must be baptized into Christ. And so if we are being baptized into Christ, that means the Father, Son, Holy Ghost all dwell in him bodily. Because we're baptized into Christ, we are buried with him in baptism. We repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so that just proves that Matthew wasn't trying to confuse anybody. He's a Hebrew. He knows what he's writing. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, baptize them into Christ, because in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's why, again, Peter would say, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There ain't no way that's been 5 minutes. Colossians 2:8-9. Beware, Paul says, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Romans 6:3-4. Don't you know, know you not, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him, with who? With Christ, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So if we're baptized into Christ, we're buried with Christ by baptism, then the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost assuredly is Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6, here's what it says about the Christ that would come. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's why when they heard this, that they had crucified the Christ, that because they knew what the prophet, before Hallmark ever put it on a card, friend, I'm telling you, that they already had read it in the scripture, and they knew, oh no, we have crucified the Christ. Luke 2:11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Well, there's only one Savior according to Isaiah 43:11 and many other scriptures. There's only one Savior. There's born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, Christ the Lord. 1 John 2:22-23, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? In other words, that he is God. God is in Christ. Is the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. If you're saying the Son is not who he says he is and who Scripture says he is, then you're denying the Father. But if you acknowledge the Son, you have the Father also. I am a Father of one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. 1 John 5:20-21, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. He said, this is the true God. Stop worshiping everything else. Stop going after anything else. Jesus Christ, you can stay with me. This is the true God and eternal life. I could go on and on. You know, he's our Savior, God in Christ. Peter said we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. But in Acts 20 and 28, it says God has purchased the church with his own blood because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And I'm going to finish. I know I'm a couple of minutes over. I'm going to finish with this. This is what Paul, this Hebrew man, wrote to his son in the gospel, Timothy. He said, Timothy, continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. This basically goes back to what Jesus said to the woman at the well. And from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. You've known Isaiah. You've known the words of Moses. You've known the prophets. You've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, you've known what the prophets wrote, and your faith in those words can make you wise unto salvation in Christ Jesus. They testify about the one who was born, who lived, who died, and rose again, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Savior. And so he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. These Old Testament Scriptures are what builds the doctrine. It lets us know who he is. There's Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. For reproof, for correction. It's able to correct us. If we've believed in something else, then the Scripture can correct us if we'll read it and study it and believe it. Paul was off the mark until Jesus said, hey, I'm Jesus whom you persecuted. And then it said that Paul would spend time proving out of the Scriptures that this is very Christ. So I know that was a lot of Scripture, and we run just a few minutes late, but and like I say, if you want these Scriptures and how they're put together, I can send them to you. But what I want you to see is this, is that salvation is nothing to play around with. We need to believe what the Bible says. We need to stand on the Word of God. And that's what the first church did. They preached from the apostles and prophets. They believed these things. They preached from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And they pulled all that from Old Testament because that made them wise unto salvation. Just as Jesus would say, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is not, it's not of the Pentecostals or the Apostolics or the Baptists or the Methodists or the, it's of the Jews. And so you have to get over our mentality of this westernized salvation and see what the Scripture says about being saved. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and pray together. Lord, we thank you today. Oh God, we just thank you for your word and for the illumination that it gives. And God, I pray today that we'll understand even more about who you are. Lord, we believe you. We believe you, Lord, that you came and died and rose again. And we're so thankful that you filled us with the Holy Ghost. And God, we're thankful that you have given us a name to believe in that is above every name. You are our Lord. We thank you today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thankful for him. Thankful for him today. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.